are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It is a Tuesday episode. My guest today is John Ledyard. We're going to talk a lot about the NFL draft. John thought that the 49ers had one of the top five best drafts in the NFL, so we're going to get into some of that stuff. But in particular, we're going to talk about the 49ers' third-round pick, number 70 overall, linebacker Fred Warner. This is the Fred Warner episode. We're going to talk a lot about his skills, how he fits in with the 49ers' defense, and what kind of player, what kind of person the 49ers are getting in Fred Warner. A good addition, in my opinion, to the team. He was a shadow 49er as well. So welcome to the 49ers, Mr. Fred Warner. We're going to get into that and some of the other 49ers draft picks here in just a minute. I do want to remind everybody to subscribe, rate, review the show. Thank you very much to all the folks who have been subscribing and reviewing the show on iTunes. You can find us also on Spotify, Google Play, just about everywhere that you can find podcasts. You can find Locked On 49ers and all the podcasts on the network, including Locked On NFL Draft, which Mr. John Ledyard, my host today, is the host of, co-host of, along with Trevor Sikkema. You can find me on Twitter at BDPeacock. Email the show any questions or comments, LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. Or you can just go to LockedOn49ers.com, find the streams of the show. You can find the links to where to subscribe to the podcast, as well as other written content about the 49ers at LockedOn49ers.com. So Fred Warner, who is Fred Warner? Well, linebacker out of BYU, 49ers third round pick, the first of their third round picks at number 70 overall. He had a really good combine workout, and you see that athleticism on tape. He ran a 4.64, 40 yard dash, 21 reps on the bench press, 38 and a half inch vertical. The guy can get up 119 inches on the broad jump, 6.9 three cone, so a sub-7 three cone for a guy who's 6'3", 236 pounds. So really prototype size, height, weight, speed, athleticism, sort of a player that the 49ers drafted there, and someone who I have high hopes for. Should be a starting linebacker for the 49ers, possibly at Mike linebacker in the middle, possibly at weak side linebacker. He could fit in with the veterans in Brock Coyle and Malcolm Smith, could play with either one of those guys, I think. And of course, the hope is that he's playing next to Reuben Foster for a very long time in the middle of that 49ers defense. More about how he fits and what position he might play with the 49ers when we bring John on the show. So where did Fred Warner come from? Well, he was a big-time recruit, four-star recruit, according to Rivals.com, Scout.com, and ESPN. He was the number 15-rated outside linebacker in the nation, and top 25 overall prospect coming out of California. So that was a big get for the BYU Cougars to get Fred Warner out of California and over to Utah to play at BYU. He was a San Diego area California prospect, named the Avocado East League Defensive Player of the Year, which is sounds like an awesome league. I don't know if you get like to eat a lifetime supply of avocados for winning that award, but yeah, count me in for that Avocado East League Defensive Player of the Year award and the All San Diego Section Defensive Player of the Year coming out of high school, named the Cal High Sports All-State First Team. He put up some very good stats at BYU. He was productive. He kind of ran underneath the radar for how athletic he is, how productive he was, played a bunch of different positions in the BYU defense. He got on the field as a true freshman in 2014, played 10 games, and then was a starter for 3 years, 2015, 2016, and 2017. Played a little bit more on the edge as a junior, but then more traditional, sort of a weak side linebacker, almost like a safety hybrid coming off the edge. Was almost like an outside linebacker safety hybrid position his senior year at BYU. He was asked to rush a little bit more earlier in his career as a sophomore, had 4 sacks, only had 1 sack last year in 2017 as a senior, 87 total tackles, had 7 interceptions in his career, and took 2 of those back for touchdowns. So, you know, the word on him was that he was a big play machine. When the team needed a big play, he stepped up. I love the article at NinersNation.com talking about Fred Warner. They asked one of the writers that writes about BYU about the person. I think this is the big telling factor here. He's a smart guy. He was a team captain type at BYU, and the writer, and I'm blanking on the guy's name right now, but basically said Fred was just an awesome human being. That even when BYU had one of its worst seasons ever in 2017, they ended the year at 4-9. They said he was a leader and a role model for the team, showed up on every game, gave 100% effort, even when it was apparent some players had given up. So off the field, aces for Fred Warner. He's exactly the kind of player that the 49ers want, and I'm sure they were really emphasizing, and they kind of had already with some very few exceptions. Shanahan and Lynch, as soon as they've come in, they've been looking for athletes. They've been looking for high character players for the most part. And Fred Warner is a hit on both of those for sure. He flies around the field, makes plays. A lot of times at BYU, he was covering the opponent's best running back or tight end. He could, you know, cover the flats, has athleticism to carry those receivers down the field, even covering some wide receivers at time, a lot of zone. So a lot of stuff that the 49ers are going to ask Fred Warner to do, he's done, maybe not exactly in the same way, but I think athletically and the type of player he is, he's going to fit in really nicely with this 49ers defense and possibly at the weak side linebacker, maybe even at middle linebacker if he develops the mental side and is able to make the calls and becomes maybe the captain of that defense. And he's definitely smart enough to do it, and the high character guy that you want that type of player to be. So let's get into a little bit more of strengths and weaknesses and traits of the 49ers third round pick linebacker Fred Warner with today's guest. Joining me today is a man you know from the show, Mr. John Ledyard. He is the host of Locked On NFL Draft. I know a lot of you guys are also subscribing to Locked On NFL Draft. Fantastic resource through the draft season and getting into the 29 draft at some point. We're still looking back at the 2018 draft here today, and I think they are on Locked On NFL Draft as well. Also a contributor and analyst at NDT Scouting. John, thank you very much for joining me here once again on Locked On 49ers.
Hey, no problem, Brian. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
So at what point do you flip the page and start looking at 2019?
I put on my first 2019 tape today, but on the podcast this week, we're wrapping up 2018, and we'll probably, bounce to 2019 next week and look back at some past classes, too. We want to do some review stuff and see what teams have drafted well over the past several years and stuff like that. But, 2019, officially, the scouting process kicked off for me today.
So have you planted your flag yet? Is it Nick Bosa or Ed Oliver, number one overall?
I'm not there yet. Check back with me in a couple weeks, maybe.
All right. So here, taking a look at the 49ers draft in 2018. And at the time when the picks were coming in, 49ers fans were a little bit worried. They're thinking, oh, man, we didn't get any draft steals based on what big media draft boards looked like. And, you know, consensus kind of takes over in the draft season, and big media draft boards and things start to look very same. And a lot of groupthink starts to happen. And the 49ers didn't really take anybody that fell any lower, and actually most of their picks were a little bit higher than what the consensus draft grades were and mock drafts were going into things. But you wrote an article just following the draft at ndtscouting.com talking about your top five favorite classes in the 2018 draft. The 49ers came in at number four on that list. I want to talk more in depth about Fred Warner in a bit, but a brief overview of why you liked the 49ers draft class.
Well, I thought I was really high on McGlinchey, and so, you know, when you have a need like they did, and, you know, wasn't really aware of it before the draft, that they were thinking about moving on from Trenton Brown and, you know, plugging in McGlinchey makes a ton of sense there and maybe see eventual successor for Joe Staley, but a good fit scheme-wise and a guy that, you know, it matters. I mean, look where Kyle Shanahan was in Atlanta and how important it was for him to have two good tackles there. You know, coaches tend to build the same way that they built in the past. You know, things that they've found success with, they could tend to try and repeat. And so I like that pick of McGlinchey. You know, I think he's a very good player, and I was very high on him. Yeah, you know, and then I thought that, you know, Dante Pettis, maybe it was a little high. You know, there are other receivers I preferred a little bit more than him, but he was still my number four wide receiver in this class. I think he's a real technician, can play inside and outside, can stretch the field for you a little bit, but also gets open on a variety of routes, and I think just the perfect kind of offense for him with Shanahan. And, you know, I love Fred Warner. You know, I was a huge fan of Fred Warner, and I think that he's going to start here regardless of what goes down with Reuben Foster. I think he'll be, you know, the weak side backer. You know, he is, just has coverage ability and range, and, you know, his mental processing at the Senior Bowl looked really, really good. And, you know, even getting into day three, a really big DJ Reed fan and liked him, and I had a third round grade on him, so to get him in the fifth round was really good. I wasn't crazy about the Tavarius Moore pick, but again, developmental guy that he took in the late third, you know, that you're just holding out hope can make good on some of his potential. I think his tape is a little bit rocky, but he great size and great athleticism, and you take risks on those kind of guys. So, you know, if he pans out, I really think this class is a complete home run top to bottom.
Yeah, the Tarvarius Moore pick, they talked about it later, and he was sort of a sleeper for the 49ers, and I think for a lot of teams, and I think and I hope they didn't overdraft him based on the guy that they fell in love with as a sleeper, and then he ran a 4.32, and then they realized, okay, the secret's out on this guy, because they were on him pretty early in the process, I think, but they thought they could get him in day three, and then he ran a 4.32 and, you know, jumped through the roof, and he had that perfect combination of length and speed and athleticism that the 49ers want in a cornerback. And so they thought, oh yeah, we're gonna have to go for him a little bit earlier than we expected. They were kind of disappointed that he ran so fast at his pro day at 4.32. But yeah, they're gonna move him over to cornerback, and there's not a lot of tape to evaluate him. So right now it's just sort of a projection. You're hoping, okay, hopefully that athleticism plays, a 1 year starter at safety at the D1 level, and you hope he can become that corner for the 49ers. But the player I really want to focus on here with you today is a guy you really liked a lot and a guy I liked a lot. And going into this process, I was thinking, man, Fred Warner, linebacker out of BYU, he's one of the better fits in this class for the 49ers outside of, you know, Roquan Smith in the first round. And of course, Roquan went the pick right before to the Bears, who were also one of your top five draft classes. And I agree there wholeheartedly. But Fred Warner, I see a modern day linebacker. I know Kyle Shanahan after the draft said the Mike and the Will position in this defense are pretty interchangeable, but I thought coming into this thing, I compared him when we talked before to Telvin Smith of Jacksonville, but he's in that mold, athletic, weak side linebacker, maybe a KJ Wright comp or Deion Jones. All those guys play that weak side spot in this scheme in the NFL.
Yeah, I think that, you know, he really is kind of a do-it-all kind of linebacker, you know, a true three-down guy. With the size and stack and shed ability, you could play him at Sam if you needed to. You could put him on the line of scrimmage. You can put him over the slot receiver. You can put him at Mike linebacker if that mental processing and communication skills continue to pick up. And you could definitely put him a weak side linebacker and watch him scrape and fill and use his athleticism. So he's a guy that can do a lot of different things well, has experience doing a lot of different things well, was terrific in zone coverage, you know, really good ball skills and kind of just anticipates things well, recognizes routes well. You know, smart guy, hardworking, you know, physical when he needs to be. I think he can be even more physical. But when he was on as an edge defender, a line of scrimmage defender, you know, when he was there with BYU, I thought that was when his physicality really showed. And then at the Senior Bowl, once again, you know, that's shown. So if he can clean up the tackling and become a little bit more consistent in this technique, you know, I really think this is a guy that has a huge ceiling. And, he, you know, a combination of he and Foster could be really scary on a second level for the 49ers.
Yeah, I'm glad that you mentioned the communication part, because that's one of the things that Kyle Shanahan mentioned. He said his middle linebacker, really the thing that separates him is the middle linebacker is the communicator, and he's got, you know, the headset on. And so with Fred Warner, you know, 32 Wunderlich, which is the highest of all the linebackers, smarts, all reports of high character at BYU. And so maybe you think, okay, well, Reuben Foster, that was the thing where he was kind of lacking coming in as a rookie last year, and he flourished as the weak side linebacker. And, you know, just generally, looking at these two players, I would have thought, okay, Ruben's a middle linebacker of the future. Fred Warner maybe plays the weak side, but Warner's actually bigger and has potential to get even bigger than he already is. If he's the high character, smart, dependable player, the better communicator, maybe you have him in the middle linebacker spot and Reuben Foster on the weak side, and we've already seen him play like a demon over there if, you know, if he does have a career in the NFL, and that's still up in the air at this point. But I really like that combination, and really with those two guys, they seem pretty interchangeable. Do you agree?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think Warner has the potential to play both spots. You know, I think Foster has the potential to play both spots. I mean, Foster, you know, to me, he's one of the best linebackers I ever scouted. So, I mean, I think he can play either spot, and it's just fine. Warner, I feel like, you know, if you have him at Mike, can he communicate? Can he call the defense? Can he do all those kind of things? You know, because he didn't really play a true linebacker role when he was at BYU. He played, like I said, on the edge, but never Pat rushed the passer, but played on the edge at times. And then was also like a big slot overhang type defender. Like if you watch Dorian O'Daniel, pretty similar role to what he did. A lot of zone coverage, a lot of working over number two in the slot, and just kind of you see him drop and do things like that. So it was run fills kind of came from out there. And when you're behind the defensive line, or directly behind them, it's totally different in terms of your reads and your run fills. That's why I was kind of uncertain about Warner. I loved his upside, but I was kind of uncertain about him going into the Senior Bowl week. And then rewatching all the practices, just really focusing on him, focused on how quickly he keyed and diagnosed everything, how quickly he attacked downhill, how natural it was for him to play linebacker. He got out on perimeter concepts. He float downhill when he saw pulling guard. You know, he just did all the right things. And then in the game, same thing, man. In the game, he was awesome. And I don't think enough, you know, he did get beat on the touchdown just barely off a crazy throw. You know, he really had good coverage. Kurt Benkert made a nuts, crazy throw. And he made he almost made the play. But you know, that was kind of the play everybody remembered. But really, he played fantastic throughout that entire game. And so, yeah, I think that it's interchangeable for both of them. Like I said, Warner may need a little bit of time before he's ready for Mike. But the way he was picking things up in Mobile, it certainly bodes well for the future.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned how he played sort of the overhang. And he was almost like, it looked like he was a strong safety at times, that he's on the edge, but didn't really rush the passer. And it's interesting in the college game, and there's so many projections now. You look at the 49ers, McGlinchey, at least you have tape of him playing on the right side, but they're moving him from his position as a senior left tackle to right tackle. They're moving Tarvarius Moore from safety to cornerback in the NFL, and then Fred Warner just is a different scheme. He's going to have to play a different position, whether it's weak side or middle linebacker in the NFL. And so there's a lot of projection in the college game, but I'm noticing almost every team in college football, and it doesn't matter how the player is built. Could be, you know, a smaller, quicker bodied cornerback or a linebacker like Fred Warner or a safety, Minkah Fitzpatrick. I remember talked with Eric Crocker yesterday on the show about when Jimmy Ward was in college, he kind of played that role. It's just they put their best player at this like weird combo linebacker, corner, edge, safety position. And so basically when you go through these college games, just watch a game, watch who plays that position. That's probably the defensive best player in college, right?
A lot of the time, yeah. I mean, Minkah Fitzpatrick, Derwin James both played a role kind of similar to that. Both of them were a lot more man coverage. It kind of depends on what you're asked to do, too. I mean, you know, Dorian O'Daniel, Fred Warner, guys that were doing more things in zone. And then, you know, Minkah and Derwin, more things in man coverage. And, you know, asked to kind of lock up whoever came there, also used his blitzers. And so there was a little bit more to them. And even especially Derwin, he also would play on the back end at times, too. So there's a little bit more to them, I think, as players. But, yeah, I mean, it's a role in college football that's grown, and that role has kind of grown in the NFL as well. So it's funny to see how that role within both realms has kind of escalated and is a really desirable role for teams to fill. And I think that you saw that more so than ever in this past draft. I mean, there were so many guys, you know, Kaiser White and Justin Reed and all kinds of guys that played that, you know, kind of position in college. So, yeah, I think you saw those types really get valued by the NFL, and probably six or seven of them went in the top 100.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of these positions are getting a little bit blurred when you're talking about free safety, strong safety, or linebacker safety. Telvin Smith, who plays weak side linebacker, Deion Jones, both those guys were 220 or below, I think, coming out of college. So Fred Warner's huge compared to those guys at 6'3", 236, I think he is, something like that. And just to wrap up the Fred Warner thing, looking at overall rankings, so the 49ers picked him in the third round, number 70 overall. If I'm not mistaken, I don't think you had him as a first-round grade, but you did have him as part of your top 32 players in the draft.
Right. He was, I forget what number now. I think he was number 30 for me on my board. He was an early day two grade for me. So, you know, I thought that was a terrific value pick along with a bunch of the other ones that they made in this class.
So going back to the first round pick, you mentioned Mike McGlinchey at the top. What was it about Mike McGlinchey that you really liked? And I think it was funny because Mike McGlinchey in the fall was a top 15 pick. And, you know, he was a no doubt first rounder, going to be one of the top left tackles taken in the draft. And then his name kind of disappeared and he started falling down lists a little bit. And a lot of people were poking holes in his game. It's like, oh man, he gets beaten pass protection too much to project as an NFL left tackle. And he will be playing right tackle, at least to start with the 49ers. But what did you see about McGlinchey that in the end had you ranking him in the area that he did actually go in the draft?
Well, I think, yeah, the narratives on him really got out of control a little bit. You know, that he got beat for a sack late again in the game against Georgia. Really was very good throughout that game, just happened to get beat on that play, and that really stood out in people's minds because it was a strip sack that really ended the game, and with it went a good chunk of Notre Dame's hopes that, you know, later kind of became diminished even more in other losses. But, I mean, for the most part, if you watch this guy throughout the season, he was excellent. You know, there were a couple really kind of glaring negative plays throughout the year. You know, McGlinchey's biggest issue is that in his drive catch out of his stance, he just doesn't gain enough ground at times. You know, he just needs to be more explosive in that first step. Now, he flashes it. He can be. You know, everybody says, no, he might not have the foot speed or the athleticism to, you know, play against speed up the edge. That's not what it is at all. You know, he has to get better out of that first step out of his stance. this guy's crazy athletic. I mean, crazy athletic. I mean, 6'8", and can bend and move the way that he does. I mean, you would never guess how tall he was because he plays with such good leverage in the run game. And there's just kind of everything that McGlinchey does, he really does it at a pretty high level, except for that first step in that slide. And, you know, if you ever talk to McGlinchey, he's going to blow you away. I mean, he just, his personality, his demeanor, his work ethic, you know, he's like a coach on the field type of guy, you know, a true leader. Guys are going to really rally around him. You know, he's not going to be perfect as a rookie. You know, he's going to make his mistakes. Every rookie tackle in the NFL does. That's not a position you just hit the ground running in. The caliber of edge pass rusher that you're going to face in the NFL is so much greater than what you face on a weekly basis in college. And there's so much more passing of the football than a lot of these conferences in college. So, you know, it just becomes much more difficult for tackles in the NFL to make that transition. But, you know, he really has all the traits, you know, mentally, physically. There's everything you kind of want is there. There will be things he needs to work on for sure. But in terms of what you're looking at the college level, I mean, it rarely gets as good as what McGlinchey offers coming from college to the NFL.
It's really becoming apparent what a Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch look for in their players, you know, the CEO types. I think Reuben Foster is really the only guy they drafted, and that was just an obvious value play, and his talent was through the roof. But everybody else they drafted, and he was the second player they drafted, you know, Solomon Thomas was this same type of guy like Mike McGlinchey, a dependable, hardworking guy, character reports off the charts. And then not only that, but athletes like Mike McGlinchey, athletic for a 6'8 offensive tackle, all the way down to Richie James, Tarvarius Moore. We just talked about Fred Warner. All these players, all the players they brought in, Weston Richburg at center, Jerick McKinnon, they're building this team for speed. They want athletes on this roster. So going forward, I think you got to adjust what you're looking for when you're mock drafting the 2019 49ers. Straight up speed. This team's they're trying to build a fast squad, and that's definitely a Shanahan thing. And I actually called the Richie James pick before the draft, thinking, yeah, you know what? Look out for Richie James late in this draft, because he is definitely Kyle Shanahan's type, and he definitely has that type. A couple other late rounders I want to talk about real quick. Kentavious Street is the one player I was a little bit hard on the 49ers about, and I just didn't think with the ACL injury in April, he's going to be gone for the year. You don't know how he's going to recover from something like that. I didn't see the player on tape that warranted that much of a discount at the top of the fourth round. What did you see in Kentavious Street? Am I wrong on him?
No, I think you're right. You know, here's the thing with Kentavious Street. Fourth round, you know, you're taking a risk on a guy with injury. You know, I think there's some good things about Kentavious Street. He is pretty fast for a 282-pound guy. You know, he does have a good first step when he times it up, but there's just really no bend or flexibility at all in his game. He doesn't have a lot of pass rush moves. He gets kind of ran up the arc a lot of the time, and so he needs development. And I don't know that the athletic upside is crazy or anything, but you know, again, like he can take off for a guy that big. So I think he plays inside, to be honest, in sub packages whenever he gets on the field. You know, it might not be this season, but whenever he gets on the field, I think that'll be his role. My biggest thing is, you know, this team really kind of needed, you know, another pass rusher, another edge pass rusher. And I didn't really think that was him. It's taking a risk on an injury or a guy that's injured already. You know, why not you'll go with somebody like Josh Sweat, who actually has been healthy for a couple of years? And you know, I can't say how bad the medicals were in all capacities or anything, but it just seemed to me that Sweat was the kind of guy that you, at this point in the draft, you know, you could take the risk on him. He's been healthy for a couple of years already. It's not like this guy is injured right now or anything. He can't play, you know, since his knee injury. He's been healthy, and I thought his tools and potential were off the charts. So, you know, I would have rather seen them take that type of a risk than a guy like Street, who I think needs some work and probably is going to miss his first year. And so there's just kind of a lot of question marks there. So I was with you. I wasn't a big fan of that pick.
Yeah, and Kentavious Street was one of those guys that was billed as a super freak coming into the draft. And so I put on the tape, and I'm watching him, and it's like, okay, well, he might be able to bench press 500 pounds or squat 700 pounds, but and sometimes that weight room strength shows up on tape. But, yeah, he didn't move like someone I was excited to see at defensive end, and I agree, probably someone who's going to end up being maybe a power end but move inside possibly. And then I saw reports that he ran a 4.5, and I was like, no, he definitely doesn't run a 4.5. Maybe he did a long time ago, and I think he timed at 4.87 in the process, if I'm not mistaken. So a lot of credit for being a workout warrior. That's one questionable pick for me with the 49ers. But they made up for it the next round. DJ Reed, the more I watch him, the more I like this guy. I mean, they definitely have a project in Tarvarius Moore, but they got the safe play in DJ Reed, someone who can play on special teams right away, someone who's going to make an impact early if Moore doesn't. Tell me a little bit about what you saw with DJ Reed.
Yeah, really scrappy kid. I mean, he comes downhill. He'll definitely hit. He does need to work on, you know, just kind of playing assignments out at times. You know, he would kind of get sucked in, and he allowed, I think, the game-winning touchdown against Oklahoma, I think it was, because he just kind of got sucked in a little bit. He's aggressive, you know, in run support. He just needs work on being assignment sound there, I think. But, you know, you want DJ Reed in off coverage, in my opinion. You know, I don't know. He may end up playing the slot. It probably, you know, appears like he will, at least at some point in San Francisco. We'll see. And, you know, he has the length to kind of play outside if you want him to, even though he isn't very tall. His arms are pretty good in length. So, he could play press if you needed him to. But I think really he's at his best when he's in off coverage, when he can read and react. He closes on the ball very well, makes plays on the ball from that position. I think that there's going to be limitations to him. You know, a guy at a third round grade on. I think there's going to be limitations to him in terms of vertical ball, defending the vertical ball, things like that. You know, he's not elite at finding the ball with his back to it, but I think he can do it. He can make plays on it. So I thought it was a great value pick in the fifth round. You know, I think he can be a team's top three corner. I don't think he'll ever be a Pro Bowler or anything like that. I think he can be a real solid starter for a team.
Yeah, I thought he would be a perfect fit maybe in the slot, someone who could play a little bit outside. But actually at rookie minicamp, the 49ers had DJ Reed playing at free safety. Is that something you think he can do? Or it might have been a situation where they just body-wise, they needed someone to play that and they wanted to have a look at him. But that was an interesting turn of events that I didn't expect.
Yeah, they're really moving everybody around, it sounds like. Exactly. You know, I didn't think of that when I watched him, like I said, smaller guy. So it would be definitely a weird role for him. But again, a guy who's good in off coverage, in terms of anticipating and breaking on routes, a lot of times teams see those traits and they think, you know, well, what could this guy do at free safety? The Steelers or the 49ers have kind of been looking for a single high free safety type for a while now and really gone through a bunch of options. And, you know, maybe he's that guy and maybe they see him as a guy that can develop into that, or they just want to get a look at him there early in camp. So either way, you know, I think that he's a guy that can definitely help that team.
So real quick, John, and thank you again for the time today. You've seen the draft class. You saw what the 49ers did down the stretch, winning five straight games with Jimmy Garoppolo. Did they do enough in this offseason? Is this a team that's worth the hype? I think they're the fifth team as far as Vegas betting goes, odds-wise, and I think a lot of that's just because they're, you know, there's a lot of excitement around the team. Do you think that is warranted? Where do you see the 49ers? They do enough to be legit contenders in 2018?
You know, I think the NFC is just so loaded. I would say that they probably don't make the playoffs this season. But I think that they'll be contenders. Yeah, I think that they'll work. You know, this will be a better team, especially early in the season. Obviously, last year they really struggled to start the year and then finished hot. I think that they'll be a formidable opponent week in and week out. You know, I don't think that this is a team that's quite ready to be on the level of being a top six or seven team in the conference, especially because the conference is just so good right now. But I definitely think they're moving in the right direction. And by next year, you know, if it doesn't happen this year, by next year for sure, you know, I think this will be a formidable opponent. There's still some pieces that I think Kyle Shanahan really wants to add. You know, while McKinnon fares a running back is going to be big because the depth is really poor there. You know, this team didn't draft one and everybody thought they kind of would. And, you know, so how that situation kind of works itself out is really critical to a team that's going to rely on the run a good bit, I would imagine. You know, how the guards work out, you know, Lakin Tomlinson, Josh Garnett, who missed last season. Is this a big, you know, big year for those guys in terms of trying to get better there and getting guys for Kyle Shanahan's scheme? You know, and then again, also the wide receiver position. You know, I think they have a bunch of bodies there. Pettis is nice, but are you missing your true number one type of guy, guy who can win in all kinds of situations? You know, are you still missing that guy? And how big a difference is it going to make for your offense? And, you know, defensively, I mentioned I have another pass rusher. How quickly does Solomon Thomas develop? What's the situation with Reuben Foster? You know, so I think there's still a lot of question marks on this team. You know, it could all come together this season faster than expected. More than likely, I think we're talking about at least being a year away for the 49ers, especially because, like I said, the NFC is just so good. But certainly in this division, you know, I think, you know, the Rams look like they're going to be good for a while now. But Seattle kind of, you know, definitely at a crossroads, and it's still a stronger roster than San Francisco, I think. But, you know, definitely at a crossroads and lost a ton of talent last year, and really going to be interesting to see where they go this season and whether a full rebuild is kind of in the play for them. And Arizona, a team that I think really falling apart and needs to just commit to a rebuild. So wouldn't surprise me if they're the second best team in this division this season, but I do think it'll be a weak division. And I think you'll see a couple playoff teams or wild card teams emerge from the other division.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be really hard to slow down the hype train, and I've been trying to just temper everybody's expectations. You can be excited, but not be disappointed if you don't come away with a Super Bowl ring next year. There's still a work in progress. Like you mentioned, this is a team that started 0-9 last year. That's where the roster was, you know, just 6-8 months ago when they started, right before Jimmy Garoppolo came in. This was not a good roster. They completely revamped and retooled the entire roster. They gutted it last offseason. So this is definitely only year two of the rebuild. There's a lot of upside to go, a lot of growth to happen with this team. So it doesn't all have to come at once, but a lot of hype, a lot of excited 49ers fans, and I'm okay with that. And yeah, John, I really appreciate the time, man. Thank you so much for joining me here once again on Locked On 49ers. Everybody go follow John. He is Ledyard NFL Draft on Twitter. You can find his work at NDT Scouting. Locked On NFL Draft is a must-subscribe podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. John, I think you're in some other places. Where else are you working these days?
Yeah, Pro Football Weekly, NDT Scouting, FRS, and then Locked On NFL Draft, and that's about it. Other than some Steelers stuff, but I don't know if your listeners would be into that. But yeah, those are the main spots these days.
Awesome. Thanks again, John. Really appreciate the time, man.
Absolutely, man. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Fantastic stuff from John Ledyard. You guys got to check out all of his work. He's the hardest working guy in the NFL draft game. He is always doing his homework. He's so well prepared. You can ask him about any prospect, any team. He's got the knowledge and he does his homework. So I love talking to him. He's definitely a must-subscribe podcast. Him and Trevor Sikkim over at Locked On NFL Draft. He does good work. Such a great crew. They're building at NDT Scouting as well as his work at FanRag Sports. You got to follow him on Twitter as well at Ledyard NFL Draft. And yeah, I was thinking, man, you're preaching to the choir. 49ers fans thought the same about the draft. The one thing was like, where's that edge rusher? They got a couple more big-bodied defensive linemen that are sort of power end, big end, inside guys. That edge rusher, that's going to be a big question going forward. The offseason's not over. There's some development to happen on the roster as well. But John is right. He hit that part right on the head. A lot of 49ers fans, judging by all the mailbag questions and what I'm seeing on Twitter and just what I thought about the roster going into the draft. That's still one big question about this 2018 49ers team. Thanks again to John for joining the show. That's going to do it for today. We will be back tomorrow with Nick Winkler for a little Winky Wednesday. Get those mailbag questions in. Hit me on Twitter at BDPeacock or email the show LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. Talk to you guys then right here on Locked On 49ers.